The scripture reading today is found in Luke 8. It's verses 4 through 15 in Luke 8. And when a great crowd came together and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and it grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience."
This parable has traditionally been called the parable of the sower. This story seems to be about the one who is spreading the seed, or at least that's the way it has often been understood. But really, when you think about it, you think about what you hear and what Jesus explained to the disciples, it would be better called the parable of the four soils. So let's work first with the soil. It seems easy enough. Each of us probably hearing this passage identifies ourselves somewhere in the mix. Though the very definition of hard-hearted might mean that you've missed the point. But you have that hard path where the seed just kind of bounces and you just don't hear. You have that sort of enthusiastic response and yet shallow response of the rocky soil. You have that response that embraces the word of God and yet the cares of the world overwhelm. And then you have the good soil where the word of God takes root in a fruitful and exponential way, produces fruit. But this is where we begin to have a problem, because for us, in our day, if we know anything about farming at all, and Coleman, please correct me if I'm wrong about this, don't we take care of the soil first? We prepare the soil first? Yeah. We think about getting the soil right first. We want to make sure that wherever we put a seed, we're going to make sure that that soil is prepared. And all the web pages and all the books seem to say, you start by figuring out what the soil is and what it needs to be productive. Well, that's the 21st century. The first century, they didn't do that. In the first century, the pattern was to spread the seed and then plow it under. Now, you say, what does that matter? Well, it matters a lot, because when you identify yourself as being one of these soils, in our world, once you have identified yourself as being one of those soils, you can't change. Not without some sort of intervention not without some sort of help. But in the world in which Jesus lived and Jesus spoke, when they identified themselves with the soil, hard, rocky, weed-strewn, or good, they knew that no matter what kind of soil they were, the sower was going to come back and jumble everything up and plow everything over. So that the hard path might become loosened and receptive, that the rocky soil might break down a little bit more and be mixed with good soil, so the weeds that had already taken root would be turned under and sort of set back a little bit and give the new seed a chance. And so the soil that was already good would become even better. And so that's where we find ourselves in this story. Not in a fixed image of what kind of soil we think we might be, but in an image that whatever soil we might identify with, and most of us can probably think of times in our life where we were all four of these, I certainly can, we can trust that the sower, the one who cares for us, is going to come and turn things over and help improve what kind of soil we are. It is soil amendments, or amending the soil, that takes place after the word is cast that helps bring the fruit. And that raises the question for each of us. Where are we in this moment? Are we in such a place, so tightly packed and so tightly wound, that we cannot feel or sense the seed that God cast upon us? God is surely casting the word, the love and the grace that you need. But are you so closed to that today that you cannot feel it, hear it, receive it? Worry not. For God calls to you in the sufferings of the world to look with compassion. God calls to you out of the heart of God that knows what it means to be bereft and saddened, full of sorrow. Indeed, God calls to you as the companion of those who suffer, who truly know suffering, and invite us to loosen and to once again open up to be a part of the creation that is around us and the life of God that is within us and around us. Or perhaps you're kind of loosely held together. Are you like that stony soil where you kind of are grooving along? Isn't that groovy? Well, that's kind of what the rocks are like. They're kind of sort of held together in a floppy scarecrow kind of way. They can be kicked about and separated. They don't hold together very well. They might provide a little bit of shade, a little bit of place to root, but not real defined and not real useful. You know, kind of happy-go-lucky. Yeah, the Word of God. And it kind of sifts through. Doesn't hold much in between. And maybe your life is like that today. Maybe things are having trouble taking root and you're kind of all over the place. You know you ought to be focused and you know you ought to be somehow held together, but you're not. To you, God calls and says, whoa, whoa, Settle down. Take a breath. Look at me as I gaze at you. And let things settle down and find a peace and a center that begins to draw things together and break down all this sort of planetary mess that goes on around us, sort of like an asteroid belt, you know, getting hit all over the place, and coalesce, if you will, around God's Word. Focus. A lot of us probably identify with the next soil. How many people here don't have enough to do? Mackenzie, come to our house and we'll put you to work. It seems like the cares of the world, making a living, getting ahead, taking care of our stuff, keeping clean, taking a vacation, being entertained, all these things that happen to us day in and day out, week in and week out, some of them things that we want to be a part of, some of them things that we're forced to be a part of, overwhelming and crying out, and under the all this noise, we can't hear, we can't honor, we can't nurture the kingdom of God, the word of God cast upon us. Those weeds got to go. We have to set priorities. We have to be disciplined and willing to let go of those things that keep us from honoring and receiving God's word. God invites us to a disciplined life. It's not just that God saves us. It's not just that we are marked as His for heaven. We're marked as His for earth as well. That we will be His in this place and focused on Him with joy and care. The last is the good soil. Now, if you feel like you are good soil, don't be feeling too proud of yourself too quick. The soil of native Virginia in 1607 could grow tobacco. Oh, could it grow tobacco? And it could grow cotton. But it didn't take too many years of growing tobacco and growing cotton before it couldn't grow anything at all but weeds. The truth of the matter is if you're good soil, you still need help from God. The truth of the matter is good soil needs to be loved, cared for, watched over, fed, nurtured, tended, weeded, broken down, given food. I don't know if any of you all know, I have a worm farm in my backyard. Didn't know that, did you? It puts out some of the best looking soil amendment I've ever seen. These little worms are eating up all the biological stuff from the kitchen. And you can put it in the soil and it works wonders, helping to grow and recycle things back to where it needs to be. Good soil needs the discipline of love and attention. It needs to be cared for. It needs to be plowed correctly so that there's no erosion. It needs to be rotated in its crops so that it's not overworked. It needs to be aerated so it doesn't get too packed down. And it needs to be fed so it has the nutrients for life. And so this parable of soils invites us to find ourselves in any place where we might be and to be open to the reality that the sower has cast the seed into your life, into my life, and that the sower is responsible for that seed and the soil in such a way that the sower will open you up if you allow and take care of that word and take care of that soil so that there is fruit born. The thing about interpreting the parables of Jesus is that they, while they seem to make sense and seem to have a point to tell, there's always a little bit of work for you and I to do for them to have their true meaning. And that is what happens with this. You are the one who can locate yourself in this soil spectrum. You are the one who can open yourself to God. You are the one who can allow the sower to amend your life, whatever that might be, so that you can bear fruit. Wherever you're located, because wherever you're located is no hindrance to the sower. Wherever you are, Jesus still loves you. Jesus still casts his words of grace and love into your life. The question then is, will you receive it and let God turn you over, plow you under, amend your structure, and help you be fruitful? As a way of confession today, take a moment of private prayer. Jane, could we please play something that we, Be Thou My Vision or whatever that we've done, and take a couple of verses to talk with God and be honest with God. And we will just say an amen at the end of it for our confession. Let's take us a couple verses.